Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
One more, Adam. Here's something a lot of us have in common. Broken appliances. Broken air conditioner. Broken down heating system. Broken down washer dryer. Broken down refrigerator. And if you're a homeowner, you know just how expensive it is to get one of those things fixed, let alone what happens if more than one appliance breaks down at the same time. Well, if you're a homeowner, you can get all of your appliances on a warranty plan that guarantees protection for all of your home appliances in case they break down. And best of all, it will only cost you about $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club at 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168. The call is free, and if you're one of the first 25 callers, your first month membership in the Home Service Club will also be free. Home Service Club, warranty plan, guarantees protection for all of your appliances for less than $1 a day. 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168.
Hi, this is Nichelle Nichols, and you're listening to TV Confidential. Aren't we all lucky?
Okay, let's shift gears. Let's go all the way back to June 28th, 1951. And this is the day that Amos and Andy moved to CBS television from radio.
Amos and Andy is one of those shows that have, I mean, I guess to say it has lived in infamy is, I mean, it is, I mean, I remember the show was taken out of syndication for many, many years because, you know, because it was found, you know, because of the racial overtones and
yeah.
and things like that, and also, I know people who have watched it since its release, and the controversy aside, I understand. I mean, I haven't watched the show myself, but from what people tell me, it's a funny show.
No, a lot of people would never watch it because of the controversy attached to it. Simple as that. We'll not even give it a chance.
And it's one of those things that I guess you have to understand. You know, the time it was made, or it was a product of its time.
And the actors who did the show were fine actors doing a job. I mean, if you could boil it down to that, I think it's worth watching. There, does it have the overtones? I'll be honest. I've never seen an episode. I can't say.
It's a little difficult. I mean, and I think a lot of the controversy actually goes back to the radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it were different actors. It was Freeman Godson and Charles Curl.
Who were not African American.
Who were white actors playing.
Yeah, right. Doing the roles. And they started at WMAQ in Chicago. And it was, you know, they had various incarnations of the radio show, which was a very popular radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk the controversy, we also have to talk, okay, these shows were very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it moved to television and they hired African-American actors, the first thing I think that spurred some of the controversy is these African-American actors had to sound like the white guys doing those voices. So, again, we had people telling African-Americans how to sound like African-Americans.
Right.
And that tradition continued on for a long time.
What do you mean? It continues today.
you're right. It actually does. I think we have in Hollywood, we have a lot of Jewish writers who will teach African Americans and Latinos how to speak properly in their own ethnic
background.
Could
you make it more urban?
What are some of the euphemisms that would be used in modern day political correct Hollywood?
Let's see, not so politically correct. Sass it up.
Sass it up.
Okay, urban, more ethnic. To which I have said, could you clarify that, please?
Right. Yes, I either get. Can you sound more Puerto Rican? And then if I get hired to do something in Spanish, I get, can you sound less Puerto Rican?
Right, and again, they're coming at it from a stereotype, you know, a picture in their mind of what, you know, someone should sound like, whether it's, you know, whether they're thinking of Freddie Prinze or whatever. And whatever happened to just be authentic?
I guess authentic is not.
I realize say this, you know, we were recording in the entertainment capital of the world where, you know, authentic is how good you can make it look on film.
Well, you also keep in mind that Hollywood, as far as television is concerned, and I say movies too, you know, there have been so many shows set in New York.
Sure.
And, you know, put together by people who may have never been to New York.
Yeah.
But you have Hollywood that would influence our perceptions of New York. And then we take those perceptions, which are artificial, and then, you know, recycle them and create them. And you could apply that to Chicago or other ethnic cities. So it goes, you know, it's not that big of a stretch to think that you could have these preconceived notions about different groups.
Well, it goes back to something we've talked about before on the program. Back in the day, in the first 10 years, first two decades of television, people who wrote for television were people who were coming from different industries. They were a lot of times they're novelists, and a lot of times they're playwrights. These are people who've lived a little, and they have a good sense of character, you know, whether it was through their observations, you know, growing up in multicultural, you know, communities, or, you know, coming from, you know, overseas, working, you know, serving their country, you know, being stationed in other places, you know, you have a sense of character. You have a sense of character from living and, you know, getting, you know, interacting with other people. These days, people's senses of character is just what they see on television.
Exactly.
True, and there's also the thought that you do not want to offend the people in the middle of the country. It's a thought, people. I mean, there's savvy people all over the country.
Right. Which may explain why some of the best things are on, you know, the best things coming from television these days are on cable as opposed to the four broadcast networks.
Yeah.
And the CW.
I think that's very true. But I think, you know, whether it's depictions of people or depictions of locations, I wonder if often middle America, we're doing them a disservice, because then the idea of visiting New York is off the table by the way that it's depicted in movies and television.
Well, I would think, you know, these days, the way, you know, the way New York tends to be depicted, it's all white.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting around drinking coffee at, you know, the, what's the name of the place on Friends?
Central Perk.
Central Perk, right.
But, you know, the history of crime dramas, and I don't know what the studies were, but the amount of murders on television versus how many murders actually happened, you know, it's pretty. There's a little bit of disparity
there. Yes.
Let me just stress a couple other historical notes about this. Amos and Andy actually did the multi-camera setup 4 months before I Love Lucy.
I did not know that.
Wow.
I learned that. I imagine Desi must have had some influence there. They were on CBS, so I imagine Desi must have, because people were coming to Desi when they saw what he was planning for I Love Lucy and how it worked. They realized that this guy was not just the funny talking drummer. This was a guy. So
But they were doing this before Desi did it.
They did it 4 months before I Love Lucy used the technique.
So maybe Desi saw that and picked it up. And
I don't know who got credit. Desi always has credit for this. So,
well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting.
This is 4 months before it was done at the Hal Roach Studio, when that was still around for CBS. And, yeah, so they were the one. The director of photography was Robert De Grasse. And let's see, who else do we have? Yeah, we had a lot of, you know, we had some of the top TV guys that were working at the time working on this show. I mean, so this was a big deal.
Certainly a show that has, you know, a lot of a legacy in terms of
it has television. A lot of legacy, but I think also it is one of those shows that more people talk about it and have very strong opinions about it, and have never seen it.
When was it pulled from syndication?
I'm going off the top of my head, I believe it was pulled 1966.
So right in the middle, right at the height of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, that would make. Now, as a broadcasting major, I do remember that we had to listen to the radio show as a class assignment. And the episode that we listened to, it really was no different than what we would have seen Gleason and Carney do with the Honeymooners. We got a scheme to get rich quick. The scheme blows up in their face. There's that wah-wah, kind of ending, but, at the end of it, they're no worse off than they were before, and the friendship is intact.
Okay, so it may very well have been, pulled out of, pressure because of what was going on, civil rights movement, and some other things are going on down south, but as I understand that in the last I believe in the last 5 years, the entire television series has been released on DVD, digitally remastered. And I've never watched the show, but I understand the humor still holds up if understood in the context.
Yeah, and it's something that really needs to be preserved. I mean, that's the most important part.
One more item. Here's something a lot of us have in common: broken appliances, broken air conditioner, broken down heating system, broken down washer dryer, broken down refrigerator. And if you're a homeowner, you know just how expensive it is to get one of those things fixed, let alone what happens if more than one appliance breaks down at the same time. Well, if you're a homeowner, you can get all of your appliances on a warranty plan that guarantees protection for all of your home appliances in case they break down. And best of all, it will only cost you about $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club at 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168. The call is free, and if you're one of the first 25 callers, your first month membership in the Home Service Club will also be free. Home Service Club, warranty plan, guarantees protection for all of your appliances for less than $1 a day. 800-264-3168, 800-264-3168. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.